This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
All right, thank you to Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest, joining us in the previous hour. We'll hang out with Mick Schaefer coming up later on this hour. Hear from Andy Reid. We got cuts before the show is over as well. Talking some Chiefs football, talking some NFL football, all of that. Joining us now, Kendall Gammon is with us here in the zone on this Black Friday show. Kendall Gammon presented by Freeman Health System. Centered around you, Freeman Health System, your local hospital, joining your circle of trust. And Crown Automotive in Lawrence, your Lawrence new and certified pre-owned Toyota and Volkswagen dealership near Kansas City, Olathe, and Topeka. Experience the Crown difference at crownautomotive.com. Kendall, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. And you, Jason, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, to you as well, sir. How was your Thanksgiving?
You know, it was outstanding. Did the whole thing, eat too much and try to explain it away in your mind as you talk to yourself the rest of the day.
You know, it's one day. You know, that's how you explain it. You know, you can indulge. You can do all the sides. You can do everything that you don't usually eat, or maybe you don't usually eat. I don't know. And the desserts, maybe you're having two or three different. It's one day, Kendall. You can explain that away. You got 364 other days to not eat like that.
And now I'm fixed. I'm good to go, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Do you guys host, or do you bounce around to different family members? What do you guys do on Thanksgiving?
We were just here at home, and now we took it a little bit different. We had the traditional Thanksgiving tenderloin, beef tenderloin. So we went in a little different direction.
Good for you.
Well, we keep people guessing that way.
Good for you. You know, I was talking with Matt Derrick in the previous hour that I am not a fan of. I think turkey's, overrated, and I think it's overrated because we only eat it on Thanksgiving. If it was that great, we would eat it more often. And even on the day that we eat it, the star of the meal is all of the sides. It's not even the main.
I would concur. Absolutely, especially the mashed potatoes. For me, that's what we're going for.
Is that what you go for, the mashed potatoes? That's the first.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Me, it is my wife's sweet potato, casserole, because she's got the brown sugar and the cinnamon and everything in there with it. Oh, it's like a dessert. I like, honestly, it's sweet potato. It's like a sweet potato pie almost. It is unbelievable. I would just have a plate of that if I didn't. I would feel bad about that, Kendall. Then I would be a little embarrassed in myself if I only ate that.
For 10-15 seconds, you'd be inconsolable, and then you would get over it, and you would move on.
And I would go get another plateful.
There you go.
What am I doing? Oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm going back to get more of that because it is awesome.
Yeah.
I love the beef tenderloin. Good job, man. That's great. You do. That's what I see, and that's the Christmas meal. That's what I like, because there's so many different variations where you can go with a ham or a turkey. You can go prime rib. You could go beef tenderloin. You can go different ways on Christmas. It's not like a requirement that you got to have a turkey. I don't think you have to.
Well, and that way you don't get exactly what's expected. I mean, it'd be kind of like going to a Chiefs game and all of a sudden they start playing tennis instead of football. You keep them guessing a little bit.
That's right. That would be odd. That would be weird if you showed up and they started playing tennis. I don't know how good they would be. I'm not sure. Did you ever play on a Thanksgiving day?
Yes. I was telling Paige just a few days ago that since 1987, my rookie year, or my freshman year in college, from then until I was 37, I practiced football on Thanksgiving Day every single year. And then I did play in the first Thanksgiving Day game at Arrowhead on the evening.
Okay,
So that was when they made that third game. And I know I played at least one other Thanksgiving game day game, but I forget what it was.
What's that like to play on that day?
You know what? Well, it's a Thursday night game. You just deal with it. Mm-hmm. You have a short week, and you know that the meal will taste a lot better if you win, and so you go after it and just do what you do. But it's really, I say it's not much different than any other Thursday you play, because the fact is the NFL rules. I mean, that's your job. That's what you're doing. So you go about it. It sounds kind of matter of fact, but that's kind of how it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, the holidays are a little different for NFL players when it comes to Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything, because you might be traveling. There's Christmas Eve game this year with the Chiefs, and there are some Christmas Day games as well. So, yeah, I guess you plan around it. Maybe your Thanksgiving's on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Friday
or
a Saturday.
Right. Yep. There's no doubt about that one for sure for family.
Yep. Kendall Gammon is our guest. Okay, so one of the things we've been kind of examining this week and did it today and then talked with Matt Derrick a little bit as well, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. 25 straight games for the Chiefs winning in the month of November and December. How do you sort of explain that stretch that they are on, that they are, you know, just 25 straight wins?
I think it's a leadership thing. It's certainly a talent with Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and everything. But, you know, I think it starts with Big Red and how he leads the team. And as a team, understanding that, you know, that's when they talk about the playoff stretch and you're getting ready and you want to be playing your best football in November and December as you get ready to go into the playoffs. And you're trying to set yourself up in the playoffs and get that all-important coveted bye spot. Used to be two. Obviously, it's only one now, so it becomes even more important. And getting that home field advantage is so very important.
Yep, visiting with Kendall Gammon. So what did you see in the Chargers game as they get that win and find a way to win in comeback fashion?
You know what? It was a great game, but you never doubt it. I just think it's interesting when you look at Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, you know, with the possibility of having to come back in and lead him down there. And you can just tell he's just not phased. And I think, again, that starts with Andy Reid. It goes down to him. Andy talked about it in the past of how big a deal it was and that was one of his best qualities of all the qualities he has is how he leads the team. And I think Patrick even said it when they got in the huddle, which is there was never a doubt in their mind that they wouldn't get it done. And it's really interesting, Jason, you probably talked about this, but I mean, they make it look easy and they make it look a lot easier than it actually is. And obviously I was a long snapper. I wasn't playing the regular downs. I mean, I was a backup, so I've been through all that stuff. And it's not easy when you have to communicate that quickly and there's a lot of pressure. And oftentimes, you know, it may be the QB having to look out there and call things and on his own without getting too much input from the coach. I think it's just a big deal. As Andy said a while back, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, I hope nobody takes this for granted because this is a special time right now in Chiefs Kingdom.
How much is it, you know, you talked about that they, it looks so simple, and the mindset was that there wasn't a doubt by anybody, according to Patrick Mahomes. Everybody knew they were going to get it done. The between the ears in that moment that you need the talent, right? I mean, you got to have an ability to go and throw the ball, catch the ball, beat the guy in front of you, protect the quarterback. Like, you need to be good to make those, you know, that 2-minute drill and to score late. But how much is it, you know, before the drive even starts, sort of between the ears of the guys in the huddle?
I think that's important, is them understanding what could happen and, you know, not counting the chickens before they're hatched and just knowing it's part of it. It's a 60-minute game, and I know that's the biggest cliche in the world, but understanding that it's going to come down to that. And, I mean, it did, and it's just it's amazing how they all perform on so many different facets. And I know we're talking about the offense right now, but you talk about the cerebral side of things. I think I heard you talk about it, rightly so, earlier in the week. I mean, Chris Jones, when he was asked about how he was in there and he made that stop when the QB draw.
It
was just amazing. And for him to have an understanding of everything going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's and he talked about it, that they were, that was the first down and 10 when the Chargers got the ball back late with however many seconds to go, and they had three timeouts. And the Chiefs were in two deep, and they were manning up in the other spots. And he knew, did Chris Jones knew that the middle of that field was just wide open. And that's the, you know what, that's the rush, the gap integrity of where you're supposed to be rushing from, and you don't get outside of whatever space you're supposed to be, and just knew that, you know, as I'm rushing, I'm supposed to be here. I don't know if he set him up to where he started rushing to Chris Jones to his right and then went back to his left, you know, to set up Justin Herbert. I'm not sure, but it was just perfect timing because Herbert, that was, to me, that was a pre-read. That was predetermined he was going to tuck it
absolutely.
And go no matter what.
That was a called QB draw. And quite honestly, against the coverage they had, it was the perfect call because the middle is open on cover two. And for Chris to understand that, and I think, you know, a year ago, certainly 2 or 3 years ago, Chris doesn't do that. he's paid to go get the QB, and he's going after it no matter what. And he didn't take the bait there. He understood that he had to have lane integrity, gap integrity, and he did, and made a big play, really one of the biggest. I mean, even with the other sacks and stuff, that was such a huge play.
It's a really good point about in years past, because we have seen Chris Jones in years past just simply, all right, I'm doing whatever it takes. I'm going to split this double team, or I'm going to do this over here to try to get to the quarterback. Or at least that's how it's felt. And maybe that was the design on that particular play. We've also seen the criticism that's been there for Chris Jones in rush defense. And I think the last couple of years that the rushing defense has been pretty good. He's held his own and been dominant against the run at times, and just blowing up plays for the opposition. We've seen that this year because he's been as dominant as he's ever played. And it's a really good point of like, okay, so Chris Jones, here's your job on this. You're taking the double team, but you've got the middle here in the gap integrity, where I don't know if in years past he would have just said, okay, I'm taking the double team, but I'm going to split this. I'm going to knock these guys over there. And if I've got to go around to the right to get there, I'm going to get there because, I got to sack the quarterback, as opposed to, I got double teamed and I may not get there. So I've got to play my spot over here to make sure he doesn't rush up the middle. And oh, by the way, I got the sack because of it. That's a really good point of the maturity if he would have been in that same spot a few years ago.
Yeah, and throughout my career, my 15 years in the NFL, I saw a lot of things like that. You see players, they come in, they may or may not be knuckleheads, but they're just young. And then they start to understand it better. And I think in Chris's case, we're not knocking anything he used to be, because that's what he was supposed to do. But him understanding it more, then I also think when you have the head coach, the defensive coordinator, talk about, listen, I realize Chris didn't have a sack in this game, but he had an effect on it so much. And so you're hearing that in the practice and throughout the week also. So as a player, when you hear that and it's ground into you that, okay, I am making a difference even if I'm not getting the sack or I'm not blowing it up, as long as I'm eating up two offensive linemen, if I'm letting a defender, a linebacker run free or something like that. When you understand that you are making a difference and the people that matter know for sure that you're making a difference, that's huge.
Well, there was a play against the Jags, it was, on third and two, when they were on the Chiefs side of the field. It was early in the game. It was, in fact, the drive for the Jags after Pacheco fumbled early in the game. So they get to like the 48-yard line of the Chiefs. It's third and two, and Trevor Lawrence, they're running like a quarterback keeper, and Chris Jones, it's to the right, so Chris Jones going to his left and just blows up the play, and Trevor Lawrence has to then, stop, go back to the inside, and at that point, Willie Gay and Karlaftis were pursuing from the backside, and they make the tackle. Chris Jones didn't get anything for that. Like,
exactly.
He doesn't get a stat. He didn't get a stat. He doesn't get a hockey assist. Nothing. But Willie Gay and Karlaftis got the tackle on Trevor Lawrence, the assisted tackle between them, splitting it because of Chris Jones. He was the one that did that.
And absolutely. And make no mistake, the guys who got the credit for it, they let him know what was going on, and that's the huge thing. Football is such a complimentary sport. Mm-hmm. It takes so many different people doing their job for somebody else to really do something that you're going to get the credit for. And when everybody understands that and understands they have to work together, and quite honestly, it comes down to not having egos. And there's very few. There really is. It's amazing. There's very few egos on this Chiefs team right now.
Visiting with Kendall Gammon, he is presented by Freeman Health System and Crown Automotive in Lawrence. Do want to pass along some news in the NFL. Von Miller with the Buffalo Bills, the MRI has come back. He did not tear his ACL, and so they are worried about a lateral meniscus issue with Von Miller. He is out 7 to 10 days. And leaving yesterday on the cart, and the way he looked like he was just defeated, and knowing that it was a knee injury and knowing that his knee buckled, and then he, it gets carted off to the locker room. All of that being said, the fact that right now he's only out 7 to 10 days, I think, is probably as good a news as the Buffalo Bills could have hoped for at that time, because I'm thinking, did they just lose Von Miller for the year, and how much of a difference that makes for this Buffalo team? But it's good news that, it's never good news when your, stud defensive end is going to miss a couple of weeks, but if you were to ask any Buffalo Bills fan or coach or, front office, hey, Von Miller's going to be out 3 weeks right now as he's getting carted to the locker room, oh, you'd settle out of court right then.
Yeah, I agree. I'll be curious to see if that time frame actually holds up or not, because obviously he's a little bit up in years, and meniscus is a tough thing. Mm-hmm. I had a posterior horn tear once and got through the rest of the season, but I couldn't use my knee as well as I would like. I couldn't bend it as well as I'd like and had to get surgery afterwards. But hopefully this is just a completely different thing and he'll be fine. And I know, you know, some fans, you might think, well, he's with the Bills, so we don't want him to play. But in general, you never want anybody, you never wish anybody any harm in terms of the injury side of things.
It's odd that somebody who's that good, who has played against the Chiefs in the division for as long as he has and has been as good as he has against the Chiefs and now plays for the Bills, it's odd how much I like Von Miller.
It's hard not to like him. I mean, now, did Von go to TCU?
Yeah. Or A&M. Okay, so, A&M.
Oh, he went to A&M. Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else. I forget what it is. Oh, I'm thinking about I got you. Okay. Yeah, he's he's a special player, but I just love how he conducts himself off the field and the respect he has for people and everything going on. It's sometimes a rare quality. This sounds bad, but the defensive side and the linebackers, I think they can be harsh personality-wise. I mean, that's just how they're built. And I don't feel like he has that same tendency.
Yeah. Maybe it's the fact of his love of Derek Thomas and talking about DT. Maybe that's part of it. But it's just, it's weird. Somebody that's that dominant and has played that well against the Chiefs for so long in the division that it's like, I don't hate the guy. I like him. And I hope he's okay.
Exactly.
And I hope he's okay in a game where the Chiefs beat the Bills in the playoffs. You know, I hope he's perfectly fine. I hope he's very healthy walking off the field depressed in the playoffs. I hope the tears coming from his eyes in January are very healthy tears. That's what I'm hoping. It's hydrated tears. Visiting with Kendall Gammon. He is our guest, presented by Freeman Health System and Crown Automotive in Lawrence. So Chiefs and Rams this weekend. It's the rest of the schedule for the Chiefs is not what at the beginning of the season we thought it would look like, with the at least the names of the teams that they're going to be playing. Rams, Bengals, Broncos, Texans are, you know, playing sort of what you thought they would be. Seattle, Denver, Vegas, again, like, those are not, at least record wise what you thought the Chiefs would be playing, and especially this weekend, where defending Super Bowl champions and the Chiefs are 15.5-point favorites. How do you go into a game if you're a player that you know they're the defending Super Bowl champions? We saw the video in the locker room after the game against the Chargers, where Andy Reid mentioned, like, you know who's coming to town? It's the defending Super Bowl champions, and the face, like Mahomes' face, lights up, you know, and they're pumped, like, yeah, Rams are coming to town. Even though they are just such a mash unit that, you know, people don't think this is going to be close. How do you approach that? That sort of, you know that on paper they're supposed to be a good team, but you also know that they're completely outclassed talent-wise because of the guys that are missing.
No question about it, and it's cliche, but any given Sunday, and that's what you've got to preach, is it doesn't matter. And no, I mean, you know, everybody is giving the Chiefs their best shot. You've got all these cliches that you're going to have to use. But, you know, with their QB situation in flux, I think Kupp's still out. They've got offensive linemen that weren't even on the team, I believe, the roster earlier in the year. They've just got issues. And to be 14.5 start or whatever and then be 15.5 now, if that's where it's gotten to, it's crazy. I mean, if that's not the biggest spread this year, it's got to be close. It's got to be the biggest spread, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't thought about that just looking at the different weeks, but I can have somebody else go back and look, because I'm not going to do it. But see,
there you go, exactly right.
So with the largest,
you know, we're just going to go with this. But absolutely right. And so that's the fact, though, is you've got to play with a chip on your shoulder and know that you can't slip up, because, as I said earlier, any given Sunday, and crazier things have happened. But the Chiefs are just simply a better team. And we know about the offensive side of things, but I'm more excited because the defense, to me, is playing at a level that we've not seen here in Chiefs Kingdom for quite some time. And I'm not getting on the other teams. It's just this team is really, really defensively. We are really fast. We're really physical. And Willie Gay and Bolton in the middle, I think, is fabulous. Those two guys as a tandem is pretty stout.
You, I mean, obviously 15 years in the NFL, you understand the transition from college and how long it takes to get acclimated. How impressed are you that you look at this Chiefs defense and there are four rookies in the secondary for this team?
I'm amazed. That ultimately that shouldn't happen, but it is, and that's kudos to Veach finding them, and that's more kudos to the coaches. And, you know, sometimes as a rookie, you just don't know enough to be intimidated or be scared or to have respect. You're just going out there and trying to make your name, and you're just going about things, and you got to love how they're playing, and you got to assume that they're just going to continue to ascend as they get more experience.
Visiting with Kendall Gammon. All right, tomorrow, huge day tomorrow, noon, yeah. When Pitt State traveling to Ferris State, defending champions in Division II, and Northwest Missouri State traveling to the one seed to take on Grand Valley State. So they're both underdogs in this matchup, both on the road. But it could happen tomorrow. Tomorrow around 3:30, we could be talking about Northwest and Pitt State next week down in Pittsburgh. What are you thinking of at least the Pitt State matchup with Ferris State?
I don't know much about Ferris except the fact is both Ferris and Northwest foe, they play in divisions that aren't as tough as the MIAA, in my opinion, and I think most people's opinion. Mm-hmm. It would not shock me at all. I mean, from Northwest side of things, you guys just put a beat down on the team last week. It was over quicker than ours was over. But it's going to be interesting. Of course, Pitt State going up to Big Rapids. Up mm-hmm. in northern Michigan, that's a ways. I think the forecast is for 31 degrees, so it's going to be some cold football, but it should be clear. And it would not surprise me at all for this game to be in Pittsburgh next week with Northwest coming to town, which would make sense. It would be epic.
Yeah, I think Pitt State will play next week because I do think they beat Ferris State. I think it's going to be a tough task for Northwest. I think they can certainly win, but I think Pitt State's going to be playing next week. Whether they're going to Grand Valley or hosting Northwest, we'll find out. But I like one side at least. I think Pitt State's going to win. And if it's Pitt State Northwest, we've already decided that next week on that Friday next week, it'll be a thumb wrestling match between me and you. To really get to figure out who's going to win this game. So
I am so in. You had me at hello. That's outstanding.
Yes, we will. We're not going to arm wrestle because I would lose that one. We won't box because I would lose that one. There's nothing else physical that we would do. Thumb wrestling, I'm going to lose, but maybe I got a chance in that one. I don't know. So
even if you get injured, it's not an issue.
That's exactly right. Plus, I got this this thumb that doesn't have a ligament there. It slides in and out of place. I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm not sure. It's old basketball injury, Kendall. I don't know if you know about old sports injuries, but a high school basketball injury that with my thumb. So you probably aren't aware of injuries from playing sports. So.
Actually, I've broken both thumbs multiple times, so I'm very aware of that.
Oh, so you got injured playing sports too? Oh, interesting. Okay, well, good for you. I don't think you know about this thumb I've got.
Exactly.
Kendall, you're the man. I really appreciate it as always. Enjoy the weekend, sir, and we will talk next week.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, there's Kendall Gammon, presented by Freeman Health System, centered around you. Freeman Health System, your local hospital, joining your circle of trust, and Crown Automotive in Lawrence. They're your Lawrence new and certified pre-owned Toyota and Volkswagen dealership near Kansas City, Olathe, and Topeka. Experience the Crown difference at crownautomotive.com. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll hang out with Mick Schaefer coming up next.
Twitter thinks he's funny.
Shame on you nerds.
His wife and kids think he's lame.
No!
We couldn't get Paul, so we're stuck with Mick.
Yep. Okay, still got it going on.
Mick Schaefer on the Zone with Jason Anderson.
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to Kendall Gammon joining us. It's interesting, the life of a football player, that holidays are completely different. He said from the time he was in college... Gosh, where did he go to college? I can't remember. Time he was in college at Pitt State. Until he was 37 years old, Thanksgiving to him was football, playing, practicing on Thanksgiving Day. Like, it wasn't just, let's plan out the day. It was, okay, when are we going to have Thanksgiving this week? Because Thursday's practice, and you got this going on. And he played in that Thursday night game at Arrowhead with the first ever Thanksgiving night game. So he played in that one as well. And his view of playing on Thanksgiving or that was just, hey, you're a professional. You just do what you got to do. it's like it's another game. It's another day of the week. It's just, in the middle of the season. It's just playing a game on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Try getting into TV. There's no such thing as holidays.
No, thank you. I'm good.
Yesterday,
I'm good. I mean, without
Kendall's paycheck,
I'm beside myself that I've got to work today. I mean, how dare?
How dare Wisconsin not finish off that comeback?
Bobby Pettiford, I got some words, all right? We're going to have some words, okay? Somebody get Bobby Pettiford on the phone right now as they're getting ready for Tennessee tonight.
What about the officials who could have called a technical foul on the two KU players ran out onto the court with 0.2 seconds left?
Yeah, well, they should have. Ridiculous. You know what? One of my people really care about this. I don't know if you can find the Nobody Cares clip that's in the zone hotkey there in the computer. I'm not sure. Beards plays it all the time. We'll need it for this one because it's one of my bigger backdoor covers ever, in that it's a Louisville basketball game, and Louisville was favored by 4.5. And there was like 3 seconds left, and they stole the ball, and they were up by 4. And they went in late, and it was 4.5, and I had Pittsburgh plus the points. It was Louisville-Pittsburgh. I had Pittsburgh plus 4.5. Louisville's up, 6. Or it was up 4. They go and they get a layup with, like, 0.5 seconds on the clock. So now they're covering. They're up 6. I've lost. The ball bounces. One of the cheerleaders, one of the yell leaders, the male cheerleaders, picks it up and fires it in the air. Technical foul. They called a technical foul on the cheerleader. 2 free throws for Pittsburgh. Makes them both.
You win some
money.
And
I won money. It's one of the craziest backdoor covers ever.
Nobody cares.
There you go. Yeah.
Did that make Scott Van Pelt's show?
You know what? It might have made back.
Should
in
have.
The, I mean, it was like 2012 or 13.
Oh, okay.
Well, I ended up getting handcuffed later on.
Nobody
about 10 minutes later. People may care about that. About 10 minutes later, there, right outside.
Literally handcuffed?
Yeah, right outside the Louisville locker room.
Not like cuffing season, like you find your mate for the winter?
Nope. Literally handcuffed against the wall. Backs,
I think I've heard this story.
Hand behind my back. Jamie Dixon walking into the press conference room, which I was right outside the press conference room because there was a door that was the hallway to the Louisville locker room. And then the door about 5 feet away was to enter the press conference room. And I am against the wall, and Jamie Dixon's walking, looks over, does one of those double takes, stops, and then goes into the press conference room. What's up, James? What's up, Jamie?
Did he know you?
No, he was just like, like, hey, there's somebody there.
And you had gotten out of the media area or something like that?
Yeah, so it's the way that that arena was designed, like, you have to walk down the aisle from the media overflow to get down to the press conference, and you have to walk down early because, you know, once the game's over, everybody's going up. It sucks. So we walked down there when the layup happened. We're walking down, and all of a sudden the technical foul, so we stopped, like, in the tunnel right there and watching. And this overzealous security guard that just wanted to show how tough he was like, you guys got to move. I'm like, well, the free throws are happening. We'll move. Like, we've got the credentials here, and there's 10 other people standing here. So, you know, it's not like we're the only ones here. And he's like, guys, you really need to move. I'm like, well, there's one more free throw. We're just watching to see what's going on, and then we're going to go back to the press conference area. The free throw's made. I turn around. He grabs my arm and starts pushing me, just grabbing my arm. Come on, you're going with me, and starts pushing me down the tunnel. And as that's going on, another cop, no, this was just a security guard at the arena, an actual police officer looks over and sees a security guard grabbing me and pushing me. Well, what does the police officer think? I'm going to go help the security guard.
Right.
So the cop then grabs my other arm and starts, you know, escorting me out. And I'm trying to explain what the heck's going on. And so then I talked to the cop, and I'm like, look, explain everything. I'm like, I don't care. You know, here, because he asked for my press pass. And I'm like, you know what? Here's the thing. I would never give you this, but to show that I am trying to de-escalate, that I have done nothing wrong to have this reaction, I will hand you my press pass, and I'm going to go straight to the SID and tell him what's going on. He's like, good, because I'm going to give him this problem. So I went back there, talked to him.
This is before you've been handcuffed.
Yeah. So I went back there, I talked to him. I'm like, this happened, this happened, this happened. What the hell, man? And he's like, well, I'm really sorry about that. You know, da, 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 that shouldn't have happened. Da, da. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I also need to go and cover the locker room, okay? Because this is my job as being
a wild night in your life.
Being one of the few workers that
you couldn't enjoy that cover.
Starting, yeah, I know. It went from a great backdoor cover to now I got a great story. And I'm like, you know, there's like three of us that work at the station at the time. We're starting the station. I'm like, no, I've got to go and get the sound of the locker room. If I don't, then nobody gets it. And he's like, yeah, you know what? That's fine. You can be in the press conference room and then, you know, don't worry about it. You can head to the head of the locker room. Cool. Head of the locker room. The door opens to the hallway from like the bowels of the arena. Door opens to the hallway. I start walking. The security guard sees me walking.
Did he kick you out?
And starts yelling, hey, you can't be in here. And I look over at the SID. This guy looks, sees the security guard yelling at me. He turns around and walks away.
Oh, jeez.
The SID does. And as the security guard starts to grab me, the police officer comes and grabs me as well. Yeah, and I'm looking at the SID who's walking away, and I'm like, you mother bleep. So the guy brings me back and then handcuffs me for being in a restricted area without a credential.
Like, even though he took your credential.
Like, you have it! You know that I'm here! So then I get a little upset, and I say a curse word, and then it's the, are you cussing at me?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm simply cussing at the situation. And then he says, well, I'll give you a choice. You can either go home, or you can go, you know, to the station with me. I said, and I was being a total smartass. I go, yeah, I guess I'll go home. And so I went home.
And then you shared the story on the radio the next day? With names?
I was advised not to, because we were new.
Yeah.
And so higher-ups advised not to. I did send a very strongly worded email to the to the head SID, who then profusely apologized and then had the security guard apologize as well for the complete and total overreaction.
So did you see that?
Oh, hey, we're back.
Did you see that security guard and cop again?
See him
all the time.
Every single game.
Did the relationship ever evolve to like amicable or something like that?
Never said a word to him. Never said a word to him. Never said a word to him. I knew he was an AH. From that day, I knew the guy had a small thingy.
Brain.
Like justice was served to me. I don't know.
Absolutely. He had a very small Grady Dick.
I mean, this...
Grady, I'm just saying, like, he's a bigger player. This guy was not the size of Grady Dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's much smaller.
Like, I'd love to hear the other sides of the story, because a lot of times, you know, people, like, they're kind of swashbucklers when they tell their own story. They're kind of the hero of the story. I want to see some tape.
No, it wasn't a hero because I didn't move. He asked me to move from the tunnel and I didn't. So I mean, that is true. I also didn't think it was that big of a deal because there were 10 other people standing there. I don't know.
I believe you. I just know that you're very witty and you have a sharp tongue. And I bet you had some pretty good pop-offs that maybe weren't shared in the story back at the security guard.
Not at the security, not at the beginning. I was really like taken aback because I'm like, well, other people are standing here. You know, I thought we were just having a conversation. I'm like, other people are standing here. He's like, yeah, but you got to leave. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to. I'm just watching the free throw. Like, it was, honestly, like, it was just like, hey, I'm not going to be an AH right out of the gates. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden he just grabs my arm and starts pushing me. I'm like, what the hell are you doing, dude? Anyway, so I did cover. I did get the cover on that. So that damn cheerleader.
Well, that money bailed you out of jail, though.
Would have, but I decided to go home. I made the choice that night to go home instead of going downtown, even though we were already downtown. I don't know. I don't even know if he said, you either go home or you're going to come downtown with me. I don't know. Is that like a 70s or an 80s cop buddy sitcom? I'm going to take you downtown.
Going full good cop, bad cop, him and the security guard.
Yeah, they were playing bad cop, bad cop. That was odd.
That's not the game.
Where's the good cop? Because the SID was supposed to be the good cop, and he bailed. Oh, I haven't really had a conversation with that guy either. He wasn't the main SID. Anyway, USA and England today, 1
we're
o'clock
starting
in
here
seven,
soon, right?
Yeah. 17 minutes. You nervous? You got butterflies, Mick?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I do, but for another game this weekend. It's not that one.
K-State, KU.
For a game, not a match. I'm nervous for a game, not a match.
Mizzou, Arizona. Or Arkansas.
Mizzou, Arizona. I'd be nervous. Like, wait, I've told my staff to cover Mizzou, Arkansas.
Oh, my goodness.
What the heck?
Wow.
No.
KU, Tennessee tonight.
Not not even that one.
I'm going to get there. It can't be Mill Valley Maze. So is it Chiefs Rams?
It's something to do with Pittsburgh. Maybe it's Pittsburgh State Ferris State.
That's what's got to be. It. Yeah, Northwest and Grand Valley State. Yeah. That's the connection to
Save
Pittsburgh,
Ferris.
Kansas.
Say Ferris because Pittsburgh's coming.
Hopefully
to tear him apart.
Hopefully he is.
that's
so good. Oh man, yeah. That's so. That's how it is in your family.
Uh-huh.
Oh, great. No, it's a big one from Mill Valley. Mill Valley Maze.
It is. It's one of the more highly anticipated high school football games in Kansas.
Avery Johnson.
In years and years, because I mean, look, you have a generational quarterback in Avery Johnson who's had just an amazing year. We beat them last year with him, but he's had an even better season this year,
yeah.
And he's going to Kansas State. And it's not just like your regular Kansas kid going to Kansas State. He was offered by Notre Dame, by Florida State,
Washington, Oregon,
just all the big boys, most of the big boys, right?
Yeah.
And he chooses to stay at home, and I think it's going to be a great deal for Kansas State. And he is a great kid, and he's like a rock star down in Wichita. There
he
are kids
be.
That go as him for Halloween. Because he's got long,
he's got the
blonde
hair yeah.
halfway down his back.
Right.
Right? And so he
the
dropped...
curly, you know, long,
he
long
dropped
curly hair.
The puck at the Wichita Thunder opening
really?
Season game or whatever. He's out there on the ice. He is about as big of a star as they've had down there in a long time in football. And like you with cheering for Von Miller.
That's right.
Really like him. Really like the kid. Yeah. I hope he has very healthy, promising, hopeful tears come down his mouth, out of his eyes tomorrow.
He is he's an interesting story for a couple of reasons. One, you know, being a top 10 quarterback in the nation from, you know, Kansas is awesome. Being recruited by and offered by almost everybody, good for him. Choosing to stay home is pretty awesome. But in a few years, does Lance Leipold get to a position to where it's not just K-State if you're staying home and you're a highly touted guy to go and play for the
Chris
Wildcats?
Kleiman?
No, I'm saying Lance Leipold. Does he get KU in a position?
Oh,
to
I see.
Where
I see, yeah.
It's not like, hey, Avery Johnson's staying in Kansas. Well, he's going to Kansas State.
Yeah.
In 3 or 4 years, hey, a guy like Avery Johnson staying in Kansas, oh, and Lance Leipold, you know, has a chance to grab him. Because it's not good for Kansas State with KU coming on and playing better and certainly showing that Lance Leipold can coach some quarterbacks.
Right. And K-State was benefited in this recruiting process and that, like, he grew up a Kansas State fan.
Right, absolutely.
His parents
yes.
are from Kansas, from Wichita.
Absolutely.
He was a huge K-State fan growing
yeah.
up. A lot like Grady Dick grew up a huge KU basketball
yeah.
fan. And so you...
Yeah, K-State was like... He was theirs to lose.
Yes.
Like, he was going to K-State unless somebody else just came
Which,
in.
Which, I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far in that. Like,
it felt like that.
I mean, okay, you're a fan of a school, but then you have, okay,
well,
name
yeah.
brand programs well, yeah, coming after you. I imagine that has to be
yeah.
some sort of pull.
Let me re-say
I would say Grady
say,
Dick was KU's
yeah,
to lose.
Right.
I bet there was a lot more pull with, and I'm just guessing here, with Avery Johnson going to K-State.
I shouldn't say theirs to lose. I would say that they had an advantage and an inside track because you had the heartstrings
yeah.
pulling with K-State as opposed to just Washington
Here's
or
an example.
Arizona or Oregon or, you know,
Dylan,
Auburn or
Dylan Edwards from Derby was K-State's to lose and they lost him. He committed there. His dad played for Kansas State and now he's going to Notre Dame. And so that's an example of, like,
yeah.
he grew up a K-State fan in a K-State family. His dad played there, committed to Kansas State. But when that name brand came calling, it was too much to ignore, and he's now decommitted and is going to Notre Dame.
Damn you, Tim Grunherd. I mean, just ridiculous.
And him and Avery Johnson are like best friends, and they were going to go.
What are you trying to say?
Together.
What are you trying to say?
That Avery Johnson is decommitting? No, I'm not saying that.
You son of a gun!
This is a while back that
yeah.
Edwards did. Now Avery's going to he's going to Manhattan.
I also heard that Konzo Martin didn't recruit him. That Konzo Martin wasn't interested in Avery Johnson. Also not recruiting anybody else that's locally that would be good. I know he grew up a K-State fan, but I can only imagine him growing up a Missouri fan and Konzo be like, nah, not a big deal. You know, Ochai
he
apparently
actually
grew
is
up a Missouri
good,
fan.
Are you talking about Grady Dick or Avery Johnson?
I'm talking about Avery Johnson being a jerk, being a Grady. Right. About the not recruiting guys that are like, oh, big fan. This
yeah.
guy grew up a fan. Don't really care. Not good enough. Ochai, not good enough. DeJuan Harris, not good enough. I'm going to go find somebody else. You have that. You can have this guy there, Bill Self. What do you know about basketball players? Good luck with that. No, thank you.
Avery Johnson's also led Mays to a state basketball title as well. He's an outstanding pitcher.
Why not? Yeah. So you're saying he's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. So I'm saying it's going to be a great game tomorrow, and can't wait. Mill Valley looking for its fourth straight state title.
Mill Valley's been dominant. How close of a matchup is this? I mean, Avery Johnson changes a lot, but how close of a matchup is this overall?
They have the best offense in the state at like 51 points a game, but we're like right there. We score 47 a game. But both teams have had nothing but running clocks at the ends of games, right? We've had eight running clocks out of 12 games.
Crazy.
Mill Valley has by far the best defense in the state. We have not allowed a point in the playoffs. 205-0 has been the score for Mill Valley in the playoffs.
Well, that's because you had running clocks. I mean, come on. I mean, just
there were twos and threes playing too.
I know.
In the second half,
it's a machine, dude.
And so it's going to be the quote unquote. But I mean, Mays' defense gives up like 14 a game, which is great. We give up five, and so I think it's going to be the quote unquote other units, right? The Mill Valley offense against Mays defense, to where like, okay, can Mill Valley put up 35? Because I think that would get it done. That Mays scored 14 on Mill Valley last year, but was shut out to the end of the third quarter. Does Mill Valley struggle maybe to get to 21? If so, okay, things could be different. And so I think that's where it lies. Yeah. And I'm just, it's gonna be on Spectrum Sports. It's gonna be on
ESPN,
the game of the
Kansas
week,
City.
ESPN Kansas City, back to back weeks. Mill Valley's on that, and my son plays some. Just sophomore isn't. He started a couple games this year because of injury and kind of style of play, but he should be because there's some we have some fellas on the defensive line.
He gets a sack on Avery Johnson. He'll tell that story forever.
Well, yeah, like his brother did last year, and we might have like a picture of that at the house.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, maybe.
That's cool. Yeah. My one catch, 11 yards on Brandon Shelby, who played at Oklahoma. Yeah, take that, Brandon.
There you go.
Yeah, in your face, Rockhurst.
Yes. I'm
just saying, if Brandon Shelby's good enough to play at Oklahoma, he couldn't guard me. I mean, just whatever.
I'm sure there's dozens of like defensive players all over the state that's got a sack or a tackle or in the same picture as Avery Johnson that their parents have framed at home.
My buddy, true story, one of my best friends, best man in my wedding, along with my brother, was co-best man. My
brother was an usher in my wedding.
He robbed Albert Pujols. In high school, we played Fort Osage.
Not literally, but in a baseball game.
No, it was after the game was over. He stole his gold chains, and that's the best story. No, he had, I think, bases were loaded, and my buddy played center field, and Pujols put one in the gap, and he diving catch.
Nice.
Rob Pujols. It's on his resume still. I mean, he still talks about it to this day.
I can't imagine all the great players out there that have to put up with those stories. I think we saw, was it Joe Burrow? I think it's Joe Burrow signing autographs for the Bengals earlier before the season. Some guy came up, hey, what about that, Columbus Central game you lost in high school, man? I was like leading tackler. He's like, okay. He's like, almost like he hears that stuff every day.
Yep. Yeah. And by the way, I am not judging my buddy at all for telling the story about him robbing Albert Pujols. A little bit different than, you know, I had one catch, 11 yards on a guy who played at Oklahoma. Oh, yeah, I robbed maybe the greatest right-handed hitter.
Yes.
that's ever. But other than that, cool story. Yeah.
That should be like your Q score of how great of an athlete you are, the number of people that use your name.
That's a great point.
To tell, like, past days of glory stories.
Yeah.
My only claim to fame is that I got to play against Tyreek Hill, and Alvin Kamara made me look like a fool.
Wow.
There are levels to this game when you get in college.
Was that in JUCO?
That was when Alvin Kamara was at Hutchinson.
And then Tyreek is at Garden City?
Yes, he was.
And where were you?
I was at Coffeyville.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Ravens, fly.
Did you get a tackle on either?
I got a tackle on Tyreek.
See?
Yeah.
Oh,
you tackled
Tyreek.
NFL players can't tackle Tyreek Hill.
But I'll tell you what, Alvin Kamara, that was disgusting.
That's awesome. Blake Schneider's hanging out with us. His Beards is like part-timer now, I guess. I don't know.
We're trying. You know what? Mill Valley's trying to reach the status of Bishop Miege. They win six in a row?
They won six in a row. I think they won
And they're
for
going
seven.
For another one this year. They're going
Why
for
not?
A record 11th. I think 11 would be the most in Kansas history if they get it tomorrow. They play Wamigo, and they will win.
Yes.
Wamigo's actually really good, and they've got a D1 quarterback, but
49ers are going to win.
Okay. A lot of D1 quarterbacks playing, it turns out, you know.
Yeah.
That's what happens. So, all right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. We'll hear from Andy Reid in the 1 o'clock hour at some point, and then hopefully some cuts. You know, I put together from the last few weeks some cuts just to throw a little Thanksgiving fun since there were only a couple of shows this week, and Beards texted me this morning and said, hey, just a heads up, I don't have any cuts. I said, okay, thanks. I'll try to figure it out. We do need to play Sad Fans, though.
Can't wait.
Because we weren't able to play Sad Fans on Tuesday. It went podcast only. But I said we would play it on Friday. So we'll play Sad Fans Chargers in the next hour as well. More Zone coming up next.